cut music highly short this evening. What I'm about to share with you is not what you normally expect to hear from this program. But before we get started, good evening. Welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, one that I hope is going to be very thought-provoking for all of you tonight. It does not deal directly with economics. It does not deal directly with politics, but it does deal indirectly with both of those and much more. I knew what I was going to do this evening, and several hours ago that changed. One of my fishermen, as it were, sent me a link to an article that was so profound that I felt I not only needed to get my butt to work and reproduce it, but to share it with you as much as I can throughout the course of this hour. This is one of these topics that I could very easily get by with a second hour, and if for some oddball reason the guy that's coming up after me happens to be a rerun, you might want to consider bumping him, because frankly this is too important not to get out to everybody. As Granny says, go out and set my traps late in the evening to prepare headlines for the RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com website each night. In most cases, sometimes I don't get around till morning. There's probably 15 various different websites that I go to. Sometimes I get led off onto different directions to put together the headlines that are not designed to make anybody do anything one way or the other, but to think and to read and to get into what's going on around us. A piece that came up today was so profound that in the title of his essay, was the words alert. Nuclear and economic meltdown in progress. Chris Martinson states that within hours of learning of the event at Reactor 1 in Japan, he looked at the evidence available, drawn a few conclusions, and then checked to see what the so-called experts were saying. Never quite sure of what sort of personal and or professional limitations are in play, I rarely start with anyone's assessment but my own. It is, he says, part of trusting myself. It has worked remarkably well for me and my subscribers over the years. What he wrote last Saturday morning, March the 12th, regarding Japan's nuclear incident, he stated, there had been reports from Japan's nuclear agency that radioactive cesium and iodine were detected outside of the facility, which can only happen if the core has been exposed somehow. Perhaps it's all under control now. Of course, we've found since then that it's not. But he continued last Saturday, but the evidence for very high temperatures, the explosion of the containment building, a 12-mile evacuation air zone, and the presence of cesium and iodine all indicate that perhaps the complete situation is not being shared with the public. If you live in Japan, you should be heading well upwind of this facility and have potassium iodide pills on hand. I would personally be reading the wind forecasts and assuring that I was upwind. Martinson's expertise involved making sense of the world in relatively short order. It also helps him smell BS remarkably quickly, especially from the official sources. And by the way, coming out just an hour or so ago, Chairman of the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission has given a bleaker appraisal of the threat of radiation than the Japanese government has. The nuclear situation in Japan struck Martinson from the outset as being rather more serious than described, and it has proven true, as we all know now. He says, I take no pride in this particular victory and instead feel the burden of having to be the bearer of bad news. The nature of what we are about to share with you for the balance of this hour is to let you know that he, and I suppose to some degree myself and others, consider the chance of a renewed round of economic and fiscal crises to result from the chaos that is currently engulfing Japan and the MENA region to be extremely high. I'm not talking MENA, Arkansas. First, he speaks of a global meltdown. He says, for decades, the world has been running its own nuclear-style reaction only in the currency and debt markets, where exponentially accelerating piles of debt and money have spun about faster and faster in a gigantic, complex, coordinated reaction, the core of which, and always has been, the United States. At the very center of this ungainly money reactor is the main fuel pile itself, the U.S. Treasury market. And with any interruption to smooth flow of money through this pile, it will immediately become unstable. The threat goes thusly. Six stages, if I remember right. Stage one, the world watches riveted as Japan suffers a tragic and horrible earthquake and tsunami. But as horrifying as they are localized phenomenon affecting a relatively small percentage of the country. But the real trouble lurks within damaged nuclear plants, which are now ruined and will never again produce electricity for Japan, creating instant shortages that will take years to remedy. And worse, a dangerous plume of radioactivity is carried south by the winds. Tokyo partially empties and shuts down for all practical purposes. Stage two, the abrupt slowdown of the world's third largest economy alters the smooth flow of cash all over the globe and even causes reversals of some other long-standing flows. Chaotic eddies emerge in a decades-old pattern of ever-increasing flows of money into and out of the money centers, and various carry trade and other interest rate-sensitive strategies blow up. Manufacturing in Japan screeches to a halt. I read a report last night that in Japan they are losing $74 million per day based on lost automobile manufacturing capabilities now. And while manufacturing in Japan screeches to a halt, they disrupt just-in-time manufacturing strategies both internally and across the globe. Stage three. In order to fund the rebuilding effort, Japan will have to buy a lot of items from foreign suppliers at the same time that it exports. Its exports plunge precipitously. At first, Japan simply does not participate in U.S. Treasury auctions, leading to a shortage of buyers. But eventually, Japan will have to sell some of its vast hoard of U.S. bonds in order to pay for external items needed for its own reconstruction. Furthermore, insurance companies, huge holders of U.S. bonds, will face stiff liability claims in the wake of the worst natural disaster to hit a heavily industrialized center and will be forced to redeem enormous amounts of treasury paper. U.S. treasury yields will begin to climb. You see what's going on here? Japan may be forced and probably will be forced to sell off some of its vast hoard of U.S. bonds. Who is going to be around to buy them? The Chinese? The Chinese have already said they're getting real weary of the dollar. Stage four, continuing unrest in the MENA region, serves to keep oil elevated and local funding needs high, while Europe's weaker players, the pigs, P-I-I-G-S, continue to slip under the waves. Money will continue to ebb away from the U.S. Treasury market, forced by circumstance. The Federal Reserve will reverse its linguistic course and open the monetary floodgates once more. Nothing like a crisis to justify more money printing, especially to a one-trick pony like the Fed that only knows how to stamp its hoof on the print button. Stage five, an increasingly chaotic monetary and fiscal situation spills over into the derivatives arena, creating a number of financial accidents. Stressed governments find themselves in more of an arguing mood than a pull-together and sing kumbaya mood, and agreements will be hard to come by. Banks will once again begin to fail. Global trade will fall off. Unrest will continue to build, and then it happens. A currency crisis. Stage six. Everything changes faster than you think. Our author continues to say, I wish I could completely quantify and justify the reason for the assessment, but I cannot at this time. Yes, we have some very serious market turbulence to point to. In his essay, he's got quite a graph attached. You'll have access to it shortly. ZeroHedge.com posts, Japan's nuclear crisis is deepened, and we deeply regret to say there is now the real possibility of a nuclear catastrophe. Investor panic has set in with the Nikkei down over 16.5% in 2 days and the Topic Index down by 17%, its worst two-day loss since the 1987 Wall Street stock market crash. The cost to insure Japanese debt has surged to a record, with credit default swaps protecting Japanese government debt for 5 years soaring 27 basis points to a record of 125 basis points. And finally, one UBS trader said that the deteriorating nuclear crisis had led to near panic across local credit default swap markets. And while most equity indices and commodities have fallen some sharply, gold has remained resilient, down 1% at the time of the writing in U.S. dollar terms, but higher in Australian dollars, which, like so-called commodity currencies, has come under pressure in recent days. Our author continues that the nuclear meltdown has led to a market meltdown. Market breaks can quickly lead to supply shortages and other unpleasant realities. You don't believe a market breakdown? The Dow Jones Industrial Averages today, March the 16th, 2011, my friends, closed down 242 points to end their session at 11,613. It was only last week that we breached the 12,000 figure again. The NASDAQ down 51 points, almost 2% down. S&P 500 was down 25. Global Dow, for God knows what reason, is up 4. Gold off $4 in the aftermarket, but has stayed in that mid-$1,390 range most of the day. And oil, for unknown reasons, is down 99 cents a barrel. I still maintain it's because the Japanese ain't going to be driving for a while, so they're not going to have massive use for oil. You see, the problem with all of these fast-moving situations is that everything shifts from beneath your feet and events fundamentally change so quickly that you do not have time to adjust properly before the next insult arrives. For example, Martinson prides himself on ingesting massive amounts of information and processing it logically and relatively completely. But right now, he says he's overwhelmed by too many situations. I should know who the opposition leaders are in Bahrain and how many troops have crossed from Saudi Arabia, what sorts of equipment they brought as an indication of whether they plan to stay for a while longer or not, and so on and so forth. But he only knows that troops have crossed the border. He says, I consider this to be a bad sign for global oil price stability, but know very little else. And he's not entirely clear on the inner machinations of the European debt crisis anymore. He's completely consumed by following the developing nuclear crisis in Japan and trying to determine how that could, will, and should impact not only his readers in Japan, but people all over the world in its economic landscape. The problem is captured perfectly in a post by Debut, D-E-B-U, who stated, another slightly surreal day in Tokyo, which I largely spent buying food in case we have to stay indoors for an extended period due to fallout and or if food supplies are disrupted by distribution problems. He says, I've been remiss in my prepping, I admit. I will spare you my lame excuses as to why. Near pandemonium in some supermarkets, which surprised me given the generally anodyne tone of the reactor situation coverage on the Japanese television. Possibly it is simply worries about empty shelves feeding on itself. And still, despite the devastation of a few hundred kilometers away in the areas affected by the earthquake and tsunami, in Tokyo they were only inconvenienced in trivial ways. And so the sense of unreality, he says. There were emails today from my Japanese mates saying that they were resigned to there being no hockey for a while because the rinks will be closed because of the power cuts and serious damage to the roof of the home rink. Or whether it is milk hard to come by, but still lots of wine and whiskey available, by the way. or some shops are closed to save power, or limited train service, etc. It's all inconsequential trifles. Given what is happening up north, it's enough cause a bit survivor's... It is enough cause a bit of survivor's guilt. It's got to be a Japanese guy trying to write in English. Many thanks to all on the forum for the info and the insights. It has and will continue to be, I suspect, my best resources of information and advice. It's pretty bad when somebody sitting in Japan's got to go to the international worldwide web to find out what in the heck is really going on over there. Martinson continues by saying one name for this process of only very slow and coming to grips with an enormous change when it happens at a slow enough pace is shifting baselines. Now look, I'm going to share with each and every one of you, I have had to speed up my entire presentation tonight to ensure that I get this entire diatribe out. In fact, I'm speeding up so much that I'm liable to finish it by the bottom of the hour. But that's doubtful. Shifting baselines means that if you had put all of these people running out and going to the grocery stores and doing the food hoarding and everything else, this is where you need to listen carefully. If you had put these same people to sleep a week ago and woke them up today, the shock of the reality of today's situation would immediately jar them into action. But somehow, as things change seemingly gradually from hour to hour and day to day, the change itself can prove oddly paralyzing. And this is because our baselines shift. What would have been abnormal yesterday is quite normal today. But then you're saying, Bennett, look, that's over in Japan. This is not affecting us. How could this... Are you telling us to run down and stock up on food, Bennett? If you're even asking me a question like that, then you have not been listening at all to a single thing on this network. You've been tuning in for the personalities, but you've not been listening to the information we've been feeding you. I've shared with you my relationship with the freeze-dried guy. And it's not a business relationship, other than the fact that I happen to acquire food from him and from his company. But why do I acquire that food from him? The same reason that you probably should have picked up, you know, iodine and all that good stuff a long time ago and had it sitting on the shelf, just in case.
That radiation ain't going to get here. Ain't gonna happen.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, the talking heads on the Fox and the CNNs and the rest of them, they've gone out and pulled up every expert they possibly can that is positively guaranteed that what's happened in Japan will never reach American shores. I'm 63 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Back in the 1950s and 60s, I was a Boy Scout. Not the kind that Barney Frank is. He's out scouting for boys. You know what I'm talking about. Boy Scouts of America. Our motto, and a half a century later, it still is to be prepared. Prepared for what? Prepared for anything. My God, how many of you people got stuck in your homes for days and weeks at a time? You couldn't get out this past winter because of the storms. And the trees coming down, and the lack of power, and the unbelievable amounts of snow that fell in this country, in places it doesn't normally fall at all. Thank you, Al Gore. He must be the new weatherman. How many of you were prepared? Did you have enough food to take care of business? That tornado whips through Kansas here coming up. You know, that season's coming up again real quick. And it won't be that many more months after that. We're going to be facing hurricane season. Jesus, the people that live down there don't seem to ever be prepared. They're running out at the last minute, picking up that plywood to cover those windows. And if the plywood's still okay, what do you people do with that plywood after the season's over? Do you destroy it? Do you throw it away? Or do you keep it for the next year? I don't get it. to the best of my knowledge, a very large percentage of my listening audience for this program is older. I've got people in their 70s and 80s. I've had a couple of people in their real early 90s that have been in touch with me. And God bless every one of you. So people that came out of the Depression, you understand preparedness, and yet, damn it, too few people are doing it.
Well, the dang government's going to take care of me.
Yeah, they'll take care of you all right after they bend you over. You know, depression or not, I came from a rural area. My granny used to can food. You'd put it up. You'd put it in the root cellar. I ate fresh apples all winter long. Cold and crisp, baby. And pears. And we had corn sitting down there. And canned relish and stewed tomatoes and Lord knows what else Granny used to put up. Applesauce. The finest homemade applesauce in the world. I loved it. People just don't do that in this country. They expect Piggly Wiggly and Ralph's and Albertsons and Smith's and Smitty's and Fry's and Bash's and A&P and Jewel to be their root cellar. Damn, people, it ain't going to work that way. Last week, the residents of Tokyo were sympathizing with the plight of their neighbors to the north, and they were hearing about some controllable problems with some nuclear plants. Then they were hearing about maybe there's going to be more serious difficulties. And today they find themselves scrambling to empty the store shelves and get out of Dodge, so to speak. Of course, the only Dodge I know in this country is Dodge City, Kansas, and... This comes from Reuters. Reuters stated that radiation wafted from an earthquake-stricken nuclear power plant toward Tokyo on Tuesday, that's yesterday, sparking panic in one of the world's biggest and most densely populated cities. Women and children packed into the departure lounge at an airport. Supermarkets ran low on rice and other supplies, and frightened residents, tourists, and expatriates either stayed indoors or simply left the city. I'm going to tell you something. You think staying indoors, you're going to avoid the radiation? Don't turn on that air conditioner or that heater. Damn sure don't turn on those fans. It's coming in through the ductwork. It's coming in through the venting of the house. You can't get away from it. Reuters goes on to say, well, they're quoting Masashi Yoshida, who was cradling his five-month-old daughter, Hannah. He said, I'm not to worry about another earthquake. It's a radiation that scare me. A nail-biting ease in the afternoon after Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Idano appeared on national television saying, a radiation that rebels at the trouble of Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power complex had a fallen dramatically since the morning. This from a government official? You're going to believe this? I said, radiation levels at the troubled Fukushima, whatever the heck they call this place, nuclear power complex had fallen. Yeah, and late in the day, they had more fires, they had more explosions, they had more plumes going up into the air. How high? We don't know. But the confidence in the government is shaken. Confidence in the government is shaken. Don't you find that interesting? A poll came out last night on the United States of America, and the United States government has reached the lowest confidence level in 35 years. And so a lot of our Asian friends, our Japanese friends, have decided not to take chances, especially, Reuters continues, after radiation levels in Saitama, near Tokyo, were 40 times the norm. Not enough to cause human damage, but enough to stoke fears in the ultra-modern and hyper-efficient metropolis of 12 million people. And so many hoarded food and other supplies, they stayed indoors. Don Quixote, a multi-story, 24-hour general store in Tokyo's Roppongi district, sold out of radios, flashlights, candles, fuel cans, sleeping bags on Tuesday. And at another market near Tokyo's Yasuyoshi station, an entire aisle was nearly empty on both sides. Instant noodles, bread, pastry, gone. ever since last Friday's earthquake and tsunami killed at least 10,000 people and plunged Japan into a twin nuclear and humanitarian crisis. But Bennett, that's Japan. That ain't here. That's not here in San Francisco. And it ain't come to Austin yet. You people got tsunamis of your own kind. Come on. Our author says that none of this is a drill. Events now have sped up to the point that we cannot predict what will happen next. At this point, a systemic banking crisis, complete political upheaval in one or more countries, a currency crisis or a debt crisis are all within the realm of the possible. Marx says this is the most difficult alert he has ever had to write because he knows that he has not yet processed all the necessary information to truly assess the risks. He says, I'm operating on gut instinct, and some have already reminded him to trust himself. And in just a moment, I'm going to share with you some of the risks that he's concerned about, which will strike outside of Japan. In Chris Martinson's opening statement, which I did not read to you, he made a very interesting comment that I recall. And I can only paraphrase it because I can't find it right away. It has to do with the mistrust of government agents. He says, and many of you, I think, are going to understand this. He says, at this point in time, I cannot fully support 100% of my concerns with hard data and evidence. Some of what has tipped me into this state of urgency is data, evidence, and stories that I can point to. Some is due to the absence of data or information. Does that make sense to you folks? Because many times what is most important is what we are not hearing, what we are not being told, what we are not privy to. Oh, we certainly don't want to create a panic. We don't give a damn if 50,000 or 100,000 people die, but we don't want to create a panic. Now, we're going to be going to break in a moment. When we return, I'm going to share with you Chris Martinson's beliefs or concerns. He believes that there are going to be things striking outside of Japan that could, in fact, cause you and I some problems. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the preparations, some of the steps that each and every one of us should consider taking, whether Japan's a problem or not. We've got global economic calamities ahead of us. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I can't believe it.
The venison, as well as the sunnyside eggs. I lightly salted the potato.
Are you pretending? It looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove my life a wreck. My life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours.
Frank, the show, dude. I share with you early on what I'm sharing with you today is a column that was posted some hours ago. We have reproduced it. It is posted now in its entirety on RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com website. A special edition on top of the normal daily headlines. It's entitled, Alert, Nuclear and Economic Meltdown in Progress, written by Chris Martinson. And the interesting thing is, I received an email during the break, which was highly critical of this program.
Yeah, those eggs are looking pretty
myself.
Good.
I'm going to take these. Personal opinion. Right, the only there. Thing is Mr. Joe Public, before you send an email out criticizing me of a number of things, you better be very careful to run your own spell check, because the things you've accused me of is exactly what you wrote in your email. So rock and roll, baby. Larry, it's already on the websites. It's over at
Beautiful Venison Steak,
Federal Observer, and it's also on Republic Trading Group. Thanks for the shot.
And voila!
Chris Martinson continues with his. Oh, and by the way, in some of the comments that some of the quotes we were doing in this presentation tonight were not written by me, but the syntax and the selection of language indicated to me that the author was probably not of American descent, but was writing in their best broken English. And yet that doesn't mean anything, because an awful lot of Americans do the same thing. Chris Martinson says the risks that he is most concerned about striking outside of Japan include a derivative-fueled banking crisis. Another banking crisis could shut down international monetary flows for a period of time, which would severely impact your ability to access your money. or to conduct trades or otherwise take care of daily business. He believes that we're going to be facing critical shortages. Already we know that much of Japan's manufacturing output will be crippled for a while due to quake-damaged plants being destroyed, workers failing to show up as they attend to their families in a moment of deep crisis, and electricity shortages due to destroyed power plants being taken permanently offline. How much and which products will be affected will take weeks of effort to discover, as our highly integrated global supply network has an unknowable number of nodes that originate in or pass through Japan. And thirdly, a global GDP insult. Building on the idea of critical supply chain disruptions and shortages, it is a safe bet that the world economy will take a hit now that various products cannot be manufactured and sold. Toyota, Nissan, etc., etc., etc. Rather than a gentle slowdown that can be easily managed, the risk he sees here is akin to a large wrench being tossed into a delicate transmission. The risk springs less from how much you slow down, but rather how fast you do it. The global GDP hit will further expose the weakness at the periphery, probably taking down the weaker players once and for all. The main storyline here, Martinson says, is that Japan is a critical and embedded player in both the financial and productive economies, and it has suddenly, almost instantly, been taken offline. We don't know what might happen next, but we should be prepared for anything. And subsequently, this from one of my contacts just moments ago, he says he just received information from a law enforcement officer that Los Angeles is gearing up for a major earthquake to hit soon. Fox Business is also warning of an impending quake. Also, local stations in Phoenix, Arizona are warning people to get prepared for a disaster. The Ring of Fire is alive. It's expected to hit somewhere, either on the West Coast or possibly as far into this nation in the Midwest around Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. And I have the link. Fox Business News. Major earthquake in North America is imminent. My context is, I hate to be pounding this to death, but better to be forewarned than caught with your pants down and bent over. Granny says there's some serious background noise going on. Can't control it. I've got laborers working outside with saws, etc. So same kind of problem we had yesterday. I do apologize. Well, our author goes on to say he's got some advice for all of us. He said, recently I had advised readers to be ready for a big downturn linked to the idea of a QE cessation, a quantitative easing, ceasing of it. He said, I'm going to retract that somewhat, almost entirely, because this Japanese crisis will provide all the political cover necessary for more printing. Nonetheless, a market rue is on, but for entirely different reasons than were first projected. At any rate, the time to move to cash from stocks is slipping quickly past, if not already gone. But if you have not made that move yet, you should consider waiting for the next Bernanke bounce in which a few hundred billion are tossed into the kitty to stabilize the markets. The alert, this alert, Martinson says, is going to be a living document in the sense that I will be constantly updating it as time goes on and events unfold. The first stage of my advice centers on the basics. You need to have all of your basic preparations completed now, at this time. Food, water, medical kits, shelter, cash out of the bank, and all the rest should absolutely be in place at this time. If you've not done so, get the basics done now. If you live on the West Coast of the United States, you must prepare for a fallout event, even though this is extremely unlikely due to the distances involved. The concern here is, he says, is that nearly 40 years of spent fuel is stored on site and apparently boiling away its water and possibly burning. That means buying KI tablets for at least a week for every member of your family and being prepared to spend up to a week taped up inside your home if it comes to that. Oh yes, here we go. Plastic and duct tape and board games are what you need. I hate having to even suggest this sort of preparation, he says, but while remote, there's always the chance that a quirk in the airflow patterns could lead to less dilution than expected across the ocean, and that a relatively small area of the West Coast could receive a surprisingly strong concentration of contamination. Again, this is very remote, but so is the idea of four plants all melting down at the same time. His suggestions? Get what cash you are able to out of the bank. You can always put it back. Keep it somewhere safe. Get your cash out of the bank, Martinson says. Move any money you can from less liquid to more liquid vehicles. You want to be able to access your money in a hurry should that become necessary. Top off your fuel tanks. Buy extra food at the grocery store if need be. Have long-term storage food put aside. And if you take medicines, be sure to get some extras. Martinson says, I'm still holding on to all of my gold and silver holdings, as I cannot imagine any possible policy responses that will bolster anyone's faith in fiat currencies. That having been said, I am expecting short-term declines, he says, possibly significant, in the U.S. paper price for those metals on the basis of a liquidity crisis skimming the speculative component of their price off the top. I don't know how much it'll be, he said, but it's certainly not insignificant. When you stock up on things at the store, think also about friends, family, neighbors, all the other assorted people you care about who have almost certainly done little or nothing to prepare. Oh, I know people live right down the street that God will provide, he gonna take care of it. Yeah, he did. He gave you a brain, and he gave you the ability to have some shekels and expected you to go on down to the store and be prepared. God ain't going to drop a side of beef through the roof of your house at barbecue time, baby. Okay? He has his ways of providing, but for those of you who just sit back and say, God will care for all. Come on. He gave you a brain. He expects you to use it. He taught you some valuable lessons. But you all keep going to that God will provide stuff. He's already provided it. Now you got to do your part. Unbelievable. Timing, Martinson says. He says, look, I have no idea of anything. I have no idea if anything is going to transpire or not or when, and how's that for indecisive? He says, but I can tell you that the pressures are larger than they have ever been throughout this long emergency, and that conditions are ripe for an avalanche. And he ain't talking about the snow, folks. He ain't talking about the snow, okay? Avalanche. Economic, in other words, and otherwise. Lost my place. Where are we? Nope, lost it. Totally lost. He says his sincerest hope is that all of this will, no pun intended, but blow over. Hope alone is a terrible strategy. And so we prepare. He says, my best guess is that the situation in Japan will unfold over the next 2 weeks with a full-blown funding and fiscal crisis of confidence, of course, which will blossom there over that time. Oh, we're already seeing credit spreads on Japan's sovereign debt begin to skyrocket, meaning that an increasing chance of a sovereign default is being priced into the debt markets. This is the same dynamic we saw last year with Greece and then Ireland and Iceland, and so on and so forth. Only this time, it's happening to the world's third largest economy. And 2 weeks after this all begins to happen, Martinson expects that the first real product shortages and associated work stoppages will begin to hit the United States and the European economies. He says, I expect the difficulties to surface first in Europe, followed by the U.S. Somewhere in this zone, we will get the next solid commitment to print, 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 probably as a joint exercise of both continents. Now, taken together, I think we've got at least a month until things have shifted enough that preparations will become either difficult or irresponsible or, more so, impossible. Chris says it's important to use this next 4 weeks very wisely. And something he said that I've said for a long time, it's better to be a year early than a day late. So get out there and prepare responsibly. And above all, it is our duty to remain calm and focused and helpful to those around us. We are all experiencing anxiety and fear to greater and lesser degrees. It is my hope that we can use the privacy of the comment thread. Well, he's got a comment thread on his website, etc., etc., so that they can try to help people work through whatever issues arise for each other, whatever those may be, and to help each other make the best decisions that we can in an increasingly chaotic and uncertain environment. And so, welcome to the nexus of multiple exponential curves. We always knew things would speed up along the way, and so they have. It's now time to do our best. Events are unfolding in a manner entirely consistent with the framework that he has previously laid out in his guide to navigating the coming crisis. And as the report predicted, things are speeding up. Events are progressing from the outside in, and soon enough, everything will be substantially different than you remember. And it won't be completely obvious how it happened due to the phenomenon of shifting baselines. Reading it should be a particular priority to those with family or substantial investments to protect. On the column, which is posted in its entirety at republictradinggroupinternational.com, you'll be able to follow the flow. I strongly urge that you follow his links. I do not need to send this out to you. If you're listening, then you've got internet access, more than likely. If I've got your email, then I know you've got internet access. Go read the column in its entirety for yourself. It is going to be interesting. Martinson has several final comments. He states that in order to prepare responsibly, once again, you should do it before a crisis hits, when there's plenty of goods and food and other necessities available for purchase, and your purchases actually increase the local resilience of the community. For after a calamity is struck, after the earthquake in northern Japan, then any buying or accumulating you might do can be perceived as an act of hoarding, something we'd like to see everyone avoid. If you've not done so, you need to be sure that you have covered all of the basic steps recommended. At the very least, you'll get peace of mind. Oh, I'm sure you'll be ridiculed by your spouse or your next-door neighbor. Well, the hell with it. Your wife will stop ridiculing you when you've got spare medicines for or food or whatever the case may happen to be. You'll get peace of mind. You'll have the chance to be among the people who are in a position to help others when these times come, whatever they are and whenever they may come. Could be the difference between a rather miserable piece of time spent wishing you'd done more to prepare and a relatively comfortable stretch of time. I remember, oh, come on, are you kidding me? That's this weekend? I'm not going to that show. I remember that back in the late 50s, that's the only year that I attended Crestwood Elementary School, Northbrook, Illinois, fifth grade. I distinctly remember also Meadowbrook Elementary School in fourth and sixth grade going down into there. In fact, I don't recall seeing them in Crestwood, but at Meadowbrook, I recall going down into a basement theater. I used to call it an auditorium, as it were, showing films of fallout shelters. Things that people had bought in case that the bad boy Russians done dropped the bomb on us or something. it would be interesting to go on YouTube tonight and see if any of those old Fallout Shelter films are still out there, if anybody's ever put them on YouTube. I'd be willing to bet they probably have. Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. There's the problem. I will forward this to Sandra. We had a shipment that bounced back to us. One little minor change in the address. It shows you how unbelievably harsh the post office is getting. And there was one little alteration of the address. They wouldn't deliver it. Unbelievable. We have had this happen a number of times lately. And a client gave us an incorrect zip code. And it was the old zip code. Post office wouldn't deliver because it didn't have the new zip code attached. That's like addressing a check or a letter to Republic Trading Group or RBN. If you don't put the suite number 302 down, the postman won't deliver it. Well, he's just being an arrogant jerk. Well, my friends, I don't know how much you've gotten out of this last 52-odd minutes. I specifically not knowing because I normally come to this program every night with about 6 pages of prepared generalized commentary or things to feed off of, but I've done very little side feeding on this program tonight. I tried to stick to the letter of Chris Martinson's writings. And sometimes it's difficult to listen to it all and absorb it all. And I strongly urge you to read the entire piece. It's there for your complete downloading or reading or sharing with the family and discussing it. Take a look at it. You can find it at both federalobserver.com, my personal political site. You'll also find it posted at republictradinggroupinternational.com. Read it. I promise you that now that you've heard most of it, you will begin to absorb more. The United States has told their citizens in Japan to clear out. A regulator says it has indications of radiation that would be lethal within a fairly short period of time. All the gains for 2011 on Wall Street have evaporated. Dollar has hit a new low versus the yen as of today. And by the way, I lost my house today. No, not the one I'm living in, the one we're trying to buy. It was not a happy thing to have happen, but it in itself has not affected my day. We were buying a home on short sale that would have been perfect for our family for many reasons. And if none of the other family wanted to move in, we could have rented it out downstairs to the Phoenix Suns cheerleaders or something like that. But apparently Bank of America refused to stop the foreclosure, which was scheduled for this past Monday. No, we don't find out about it until today. That tells me that the listing agent didn't have a pair of cojones to put the hammer on Bank of America and say, we've got it sold. You see, it proves to me that the whole short sale and foreclosure thing is a racket. They don't want to do short sales. These banks want to foreclose on these properties. And 9 chances out of 10, when it goes up for foreclosure auction in the next 30 to 60 days, the house is going to sell for about 30% less than what we agreed to pay for. And what happens then? The bank goes to Uncle Reem us and says, say, brother, we've been needing a little bit of help here. And the administration and the Fed and everybody else winds up subsidizing an exceedingly large percentage of the money that they lost in the foreclosure auction. That, you see, is how the game is already played. They never have any intention of short sales. It's a big scam. Well, I'm glad we found it out a week and a half later instead of 2.5 months later. It would have been an absolute joke. Ha ha! Thanks, Tom. I love it. Look at this. I got pictures of Tom's. I got the last picture's the best of them all, Tom. Thanks a lot, man. That one's going up on my background tonight. It's great to look at the pictures of the water and the Coke, and that looks like chili and beans over there. We got mac and cheese. Bunch of meds set up and ready to go. Hey, we got Nesquik. I haven't seen that for a long time. Rayovac. You like those Vlasic pickles? Got a bunch of Quaker Original low-sugar oatmeal stuff. Nice lanterns. Got some fuel, I'm sure, for it. Tom's ready to go, but Tom, that shelf is caving in over there. You better fix that thing, man. And I don't know what that little brown thing is in the middle. Is that an outhouse there, Tom? Thanks for listening, my friend. My goodness. You guys make it worth my while sometimes. Unbelievable. Live feed was playing at the same time I was talking. It was a guy talking and also the sound of cooking. That is real strange. Sounds like we've got some interesting broadcasting problems tonight. Granny, you're the only one I've heard it from. You don't suppose Rick's cooking in the back room and you don't know it, do you? Well, I hope you've gotten something out of all this tonight. It's not designed to scare anybody. I am working to have a guest on tomorrow evening. It's a guest that many of you have heard before as a caller on this network. And he's offered to come on and have a little chat with us, and I think I'd like to have the guy up. So, and we've got several of them, but with any good luck tomorrow, second half of the hour, we're going to have a guest on that I think has got something worthwhile to say. The Lord has brought us together to share some good information tonight. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me. The good Lord sees fit to bring us together again without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett. They cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you. Gold, ever climbing.